me share the word of God with you for a few minutes. I will try. You know, I like to preach for long, but I will try this time around. Father, we thank you for your word. We key into your plan and your purpose for this time. We pray, O Lord, that in 2009, none of us will miss your call for our lives in Jesus' name. Lord, you will enable us this year. You will grant us good speed this year. We will not fail. We will succeed this year in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I want to quickly share with us what I believe that the Lord has laid in my heart to share for this time. And one thing I want to assure you is this, is that God gave me this message even before I knew what the Sunday school was going to be about. In fact, it was yesterday evening when Brother Bayo and I, you know, met in the church at about 4:30 that I realized what the Sunday school was going to be about. And God has placed this particular message in my heart to share with you this morning. And I want to believe that when God starts to repeat things, he's doing it for emphasis so that the people of God may prosper by his word. And I can assure you that this year you are going to prosper by the word of God in Jesus' name. I say you are going to prosper by the word of God in Jesus' name. There is only one choice before us this year. And that choice is that we prosper in the things of God. As many of us as we make a choice this year, the Lord is saying that you are going to prosper this year in Jesus' name. Open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4 verse 17. Colossians chapter 4 verse 17. Please, Tifa, can you invite in everyone that is out? This is the time of the word. This is not the time to leave the church. This is the time for the word. Please, can you invite everyone that is out to please come in? If they are not doing anything, ask them to come in. This is the time to listen to the word of God. Colossians chapter 4 verse 17. Please tell everyone to come in. We are a church of the word. The time of the word is not the time to go out, please. Colossians chapter 4, verse 17. Amen. I'm going to read. Paul was writing, as Paul would normally do. He wrote to churches. He didn't just write to churches. He wrote to individuals. As he wrote to churches, to admonish them and to encourage them. As I'm going to admonish you and encourage you this morning. And he says, and say to Archippus, see that you discharge carefully the duties of the ministry and fulfill the stewardship which you have received in the Lord. King James Version says, and said to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. This year, by the special grace of God, you are going to fulfill the call of God upon your life in Jesus' name. This particular message to Archippus has been interpreted in various ways. Some people felt that he was not being up to scratch and that Paul had to encourage him. But for me, it doesn't matter why Paul was telling him. I believe that the word is relevant to all of us today. And I believe that's what God wants us to hear for this hour. That we take heed to the ministry which we have received in the Lord so that we will fulfill it this year. To take it is to care for, is to pay attention, is to focus on, is to give it what it deserves. In other words, if you need to pay attention, it means there can be obstacles. Sometimes we need to pay attention because there can be lookalikes, so we don't confuse it with something else. Sometimes we need to pay attention because we may underperform or overperform. Sometimes we may need to pay attention because there are other things that are attached to something. So we want to be careful. Those of us, I mean, Dr. Adeni, you agree with me here. You are a surgeon. You know when you are operating, you have additions. Some of the organs you want to do something with, for whatever reason, there are other things that have been attached to them. And you have to do what? Carefully dissect it. That's when you take heat. I remember in those days, sometimes you will need nappy or something like that. You don't even want to touch with your hand. You carefully separate. And Paul was talking to Archippus here. I said, take heed. That is, be careful. Pay attention to the call of God upon your life. I want to let you know that every one of us, as we are told this morning, has the call of God upon our lives. Whether you are the hand, whether you are the leg, whether you are the eyes, whether you are the neck, whether you are whatever you may be, God has a purpose for you. You are not created to merely exist. Did you hear that? You are not created to merely exist. There is something that God is interested in about you. There's something special about you. There's something that puts you on a higher pedestal than, you know, the animals we see. And there's something that further puts you on a higher pedestal than just an ordinary person. In Revelation chapter 1 verse 6, Revelation chapter 5 verse 10, Jesus, the Bible tells us that we have been made priests and kings unto our God. So there's something special about you, and the Bible is calling upon you to take heed and make sure you fulfill why God has called you. Look, God has not called us only because he wants to simply provide food for us, clothes to wear, cars to drive, houses too. Birds have nests too. Animals have holes. They marry. Don't they marry? There are some animals that have partners. In fact, look at the monkeys. Look at lions. When you have the lion, the head of that, you know, of that particular pride, when other males come around there, you will fight, I'm telling you. Until he loses his power and someone else takes over, he will fight. He will fight. And God is calling you this year that what he has called you to do, defend it. Identify it and pursue it this year. This is not the year for complacency. It's a year to see the glory of God coming to pass in your life and you shining and showing forth in the Lord. He said, take heed. Take heed of the ministry that God has given you. Some of us, God has given us the ministry of helper. Oh, I can tell you and testify that my wife is very good at it. Do you know what? Sometimes my wife will even tell me to, you know, maybe she's driving the car and the fuel is almost finished. When I'm going away, she will say, remember to buy fuel in the car. And I say, do you have to tell somebody to buy fuel in the car? If he drives and the fuel finishes, he knows he won't be able to go. Some of us have been called to help. Some of us have been called to be givers. Some of us, I'll get to that. Some of us have been called to pray for others. Some of us have been called to encourage people. Some of us have been called to share the word of God. In fact, all of us have been called to share the word of God. But some of us know we are specially gifted in that area. Take heed this year. Take heed this year. I don't know. Whatever I'm going to encounter this year, like I've always done, my wife knows this. When I encounter any particular situation, I just want to hear what God has to say about it. Once he has spoken, praise the Lord. And once I've heard him, what do? I make sure I follow. Nobody can convince me otherwise. She will tell you. Difficult situations, she will be crying. I will tell her, I say, who do I obey? Do I obey you or do I obey God? This is what God has said. If I've not heard, I will never make it up in my mind, though. But once I've heard what God says, I have to do it, what he says. As we hear the word of God this year, what do we want to do with it? Because that is where our blessings are. In the word of God, that is where the completeness of our blessings are. What are we going to do with the word of God that we are going to hear this year? I told you it's a lock and key system. The word will come out, but it needs hearts that are prepared. And that is why we've been praying since morning that God will prepare our hearts, including me. I don't want to get to a point where I will hear the word of God, whether it's coming from a child or whoever, that I will no longer take into consideration what God has to say to me. When it gets to a point where you hear the word of God and you rationalize it and you just move on as if nothing has happened, then there's trouble. He says, take heed. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 4. It's a place we know very well. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 23. He said, my son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The word of God is your life this year. Just hold on to it. Sometimes, if we are going to base it on human reasoning, there's no way it can sound true. I remember I was invited to a house fellowship, and I said to them at the house fellowship, I said, once I was young and now I am old, I've never seen the right church forsaken, nor his seed beg for bread. And one of the people there, he was saying, is it true? What about the people who are suffering? What about this? And I told them, I said, you don't know the truth of the matter. We don't know the truth of the matter. What do I mean? I've told all the story of the two angels, the little angel and the old angel, that went out. They went out to a house. When they got there, the man of the house, you know, asked them to, it was in winter, the man of the house sent them to the underground or to the basement. No heating, nothing whatsoever. They had to sleep in the cold. It was very, very cold. And suddenly they looked up. And they saw a hole at the basement. And in it, they then saw that it was a place where this man kept his gold and his silver. And the old angel simply said, look, let's close it. So they helped the man to seal the hole. So they left the place and they went to another house. When they got there, They met the man of the house. It was very cold. The man of the house said, "What can we do for you, gentlemen?" He left his bed, he and his wife. They found another place to sleep. They put on their heater. They accommodated the angel. The angel slept very well. And towards the hours of the morning, suddenly, the only cow that they've got that was making milk for them and was giving birth that they could sell suddenly started to fall sick and died. The little angel was angry with the older angel and said, "This man treated us very wickedly. The other man, he kept us in the cold. Yet you preserve his gold. And this man, the only cow he's got, you allowed it to die." And the older angel looked at him and smiled and said, "Nothing is as it seems." He said, "You see, that gold, I know the man's passion is after his possessions. He loved the gold. He loved the silver. So I've closed it so he won't see it." He said, "But you see, for the other man," he said, "the angel of death was coming to take his wife away. I had to tell the angel of death to rather take the cow away instead of the wife. So nothing is as it seems. We need to have an understanding. We need to get close to God. Your story will be different from that of the other person. Therefore, the call of God is for you. It's not for someone else. The call of God for you is for you. It's tailor-made. It's designed. Yet, at the same time, we interact while serving Him. We work in unison. But I'm telling you, if He has to inquire, if He's going to ask, He's going to ask you. He's not going to ask me what you did with His call for your life. He's going to ask me what I did with His call for my life. And He's going to ask you. This year, as Paul encouraged one of his children in the Lord, he said, take heed of the ministry that the Lord has given you. To do what? To do what? To fulfill it. You will fulfill your call this year in Jesus' name. The way you are going to fulfill it does not have to be the way the other person fulfilled his own. One of our problems as Christians is that we lack originality. The only way a Christian can have originality is what? Is when we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. You know, if what we do is to see what others are doing. Let's hear God this year. Let God speak to you about your life. Listen to when you read the word of God, read it with a purpose this year. He has something in need for you. He has something in need for you. Your own movement this year, your own progress this year is tailor-made for you. Read the scriptures with the eyes of Jesus. Because we need to have an understanding of what God wants each and every one of us to do this year. I will quote a man. His name is A.W. Tozer. What he said is this. He said, these are the days of the magnification of sleek personalities. And as we magnify men, we minimize God. This year, I want us to magnify God in all that we do. You know what? The voice of many is not necessarily the voice of God. Am I right? The voice of the multitude is not necessarily, and I will show you in a few places. When the children of Israel sent people to spy the land, over 2.5 million people did not see a way there. Over 2.5 million people did not. Only a handful of people saw. You know what? What God has called you to do takes courage. It takes courage. This year, we need courage to do what God... Look, and I've looked at it over and over again, that each time, everyone who is going to succeed with God needs courage. Because there are many competing demands for our time, for our energy, for our money, for our, you know, there are many things competing for our attention. What about friends? Go and read Joshua chapter 1 verse 5. He told Joshua, he said, there shall no man be able to stand before you. Be of good courage. As we set out to do what God has called us to do this year, I'm telling you, we will succeed in the mighty name of Jesus. I say you will succeed in the mighty name of Jesus. The other thing that will make sure that will help us to fulfill it is that we have to be more deliberate this year. We are not coming to church by accident. Don't come to church by accident this year. Let it be that you are proposed to come to church. Not because, oh, I was so bored, I have nothing doing, so I decided to come to church. Oh, not because when I requested for extra shift, they didn't give me, that's why I decided to come to church. Propose to come to church this year. Let's be more deliberate. Even in our giving, we have to be more, what? More deliberate. One thing I find out is this. Even some students amongst us, they never miss their tithes. I know some people who never miss their tithe in this church. They deliberately make sure that it is going there. I'm telling you, they are deliberate about it. It should not be happenstance. We should not give this year only because something terrible happened to us. And we say, oh, the Lord has just taught me a lesson, so I have to give. We have to be deliberate and be consistent in our obedience to Him. We were told this morning what Paul said. He said, I'm not like one that beats the ear. You know? We don't play lotto with God. Whether this will work, that will not work, you know, I will try. He said, I do not beat the ear. I run like one who is running for a prize. I know where I'm going. I'm telling you, when all else fails, it is when you know where you are going that will keep you on the track. When everyone has left you, you remember there was a time everyone left Jesus in his ministry. His church became empty, if you like to call it that. Can we all remember the story? Oh, there was a time in the life, in the ministry of Jesus, his church became empty. To the point that he had to tell his disciples, he said, will you also go? It is what God has called you to do that will help you to keep the focus. When you know. You see, after the night vigil on Wednesday or Thursday morning, one of the youths who left the church called me aside and said, you see, I want to apologize to you, you know, for the way and manner we left the church. You know, I know what we did was so, it was not good and so. I told her, I said, look, I'm not God. Just make sure you are fulfilling what God has called you to do. Wherever you go, make sure that you are fulfilling what God has called you to do. Otherwise, it will be a waste. It's not me. It's not what I cannot hold anything against you. We were told this morning. Can you not see? We listened to our choir this morning, praise the Lord. Can you notice a trend that new songs are coming up? It's not the same old song. Can you notice the rhythm? Can you notice how we worship God? It's no longer the time that we'll say, oh, after service, say, oh, you see, you should have lifted off your voice that time. You see, you should have brought it down that time. Oh, you see, it was sister so-and-so. It was, oh, brother so-and-so. You see, God is building his church. We were told that God has what? He has substitutes. He has what? If we won't do it, he will raise someone else. That is why I always say, when I come to preach the word, I say it's an opportunity. Because I know he can do without me. I know that very, very well. In fact, I've had to cry before him before. You remember? In the learning, I wept. If you do not preserve the gift that heaven has given you, if you do not preserve the gift that heaven has given you, no wonder the Bible says, from him who has none will be taken and given to those who have in abundance. I just paraphrase it. When God has placed you somewhere and he's, you know, he's giving you something to do, and you say it's not big enough, what he's asking you to do? Who is going to entrust you with big things when you have not been faithful in little, little things? The one who got one talent, what happened to him? He wasn't faithful in little, little things. He got taken from him and given to someone else. You will not be substituted in the mighty name of Jesus. I say you will not be substituted in the mighty name of Jesus. Be deliberate. Open to Psalm 27 verse 4. Psalm 27 verse 4. Some of us will say, this is new year. I expect that you should just be preaching nice, nice, you know. We need to set our feet on a course this year that will ensure our success, because God has already spoken that you are a revelation this year, that your star cannot be hidden this year. Psalm 27 verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. That's what the psalmist said. He had a desire. He pursued it. He was deliberate. He knew what he was looking for. This year, let's seek him. Let's seek him. Psalm 119 verse 50. Psalm 119 verse 50. Let's read that. It says, this is my comfort and consolation in my affliction, that your word has revived me and given me life. So whatever we are going through this year, the word of God is able to breathe a new life into you. You know how powerful the word of God is? It has a life of its own. It has a life of its own. Praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. To fulfill it, we have to know the noise from the music this year. In other words, we have to recognize the voice of God. You know what? God is a very jealous lover. He's what? He's a very jealous lover. Am I the one giving him that name? He said, I'm a jealous God. He's a jealous lover. And we sing to him. We say, lover of my soul, I will never let you go. Wonderful. But you know what? That lover of your soul is a very jealous lover. He wants to have your soul for himself and himself alone. That's something about serving him. Those of us who are of Western culture here, you know what teddy bear is for. All the toys that we give our children, particularly things like teddy bear that they carry to bed. We know what it is for psychologically. In psychology, it is called a transition object. It's called a transition object in the sense that, you see, as your child grows bigger and bigger and is moving away from you gradually, you know, realizing that mom and dad cannot always be there 24 hours, what happens is this. You give them toys. You give them teddy bear, you know, to cuddle, to take your place, basically, for while you're not there. That's why it's called a transition object. So before, the child now is able to go and play on its own without needing mommy and daddy there and things like that. Some of us adults will still carry transition objects in place of God. He cannot share your bed with your transition objects. Our petty projects, our petty agendas, he cannot. He's the lover of our souls. He will not. He wants our full attention. And everything else will stem from that. The blessings you want will stem from that. And I'm telling you, I've always known that, and I know, and I'm convinced, and I'm saying it to you, that in terms of blessing, God will bless me. I know he will bless me. All that I need to do is to plunge myself into knowing him and to serving him. The blessings will come. I've crossed the Rubicon. I cannot be cursed anymore because he has blessed me. And it's the same thing for you. It's just for you to walk into it and walk in the consciousness of it and be deliberate. I'm telling you. That's what God requires of us this year. To walk consciously in it. Teddy bear may be my house. It may be my car. Oh, you know, I like some things. I like pens. People who know, you know, I like pens. I like good wristwatches. But I make sure it's not my teddy bear. It's not more important. You one time I lost it. Somebody bought me a pen. I must not tell you the price because it's ridiculous, you will say. And I lost that pen and I looked for it for almost 1 year. At the point in time, I had to wake myself into reality. Not long ago, I stopped looking at it, looking for it. I said, no, it has to stop. Even when I left Nigeria, when I was coming, the people in my department bought me a pen. When I left Swan, they bought me a pen. People know I like pens, good pens that I can write with. But nothing should take the place of God in our lives. And see what God will do with your life. As you release yourself to him this year, you become the clay in his hand, and he will mold you and fashion you according to his plan for this dispensation. You know what? One of my prayers for us in this church is that there will be no mere man and there will be no mere woman here. Every one of us becomes a spiritual atomic bomb. You touch people, something will happen in their lives. People associate with us, something will have to change in their lives. You know, we met a sister. We went to pray for my little boy here. And I met a sister. You know, you were there. And that sister was saying, he said, Pastor, I want to be coming to church. But I just know I'm not living right. He said, I know I'm not living right. That's why. I know. He said, my mother has told me. My mother is born again. She's told me what is right. My family told me what is right. But I know within me that it's just not right what I'm doing. People will know what is not right. We may choose to sweep it under the carpet. We have to take our own position. No? You see, that we serve God. Or we serve God. I'll borrow from my brother. But the truth about it is this. It's not a clubhouse. is first of all, is a spiritual relationship, and every other thing will stem from it. When we come together to serve the Lord like this, you know what God will give you? After fellowshipping with Him, He will give you brothers in the church. He will give you sisters in the church. He will give you mothers. He will give you sisters. He will give. I keep telling people, before my people in Nigeria hear that something is wrong with me, you will hear first. You will be a blessing to me first before they come. That is what the church is meant to be. You will be a blessing to me before my people come. The same way, I will be a blessing to you. By the time your relatives try to book flight and do something, time will be gone. But I will be there for you. You need to know that I will be there for you. I will give you a call. I will visit your house. I will share with you. Take heed to fulfill it. To succeed with God, you must be doing what God wants you to be doing. At the right time, at the right place, and for the right reasons. You will succeed this year in Jesus' mighty name. Two more things. Be ready to endure hardship and sometimes even persecution. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, Paul said to Timothy, he said, endure hardness. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, he also told Timothy, he said, endure afflictions. Endure. We need endurance. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 says, endure hardship. Even when you are right, endure hardship. That's the only way we can fulfill our ministry. If you are going, sometimes if you are going to listen to what people say, you won't even do what you are supposed to do. In fact, I've had people say to me, say so that I can hear, you should be doing private practice and making money. What is it? What is there? What is there in church? Thank God. Oh, yeah, it's true. Thank God. God has not allowed me to beg for bread. I still, He's still able to meet our needs. He provides for us. God will provide for you. I say God will provide for you. As you serve Him wholeheartedly. I was sharing with one of our brothers yesterday. I said, you show me a man who puts himself at the service of the Lord genuinely, and God will not arise for him, for his sake. I've always seen that. And by the way, it just come to my mind. Please, I will really encourage the church. If you can, please. Not if you can, please. So, towards Sister Barbara's, Pastor Barbara's trip to Mexico, please. Because God has spoken to me concerning giving. And you agree with me. When pastors come, when men of God come, I sow into their ministry. I give to them. That is why I know, as long as I'm serving the Lord, I will not lack. No, I cannot even lack. He will provide. I sow into people's ministry. Sometimes people, some of them will think maybe it's the church that is giving them. No, it's my personal money. If the church is giving you, I will let you know that it's the church giving you. If it's me, I may not say it. I will just give you. This year, we need to cultivate the habit of sowing. Because God has said that our abundance is in Him, in us giving. Move from that level where you used to be before. Pay your tithes this year. Give. Give to people. Let's give amongst ourselves. Help somebody. I'm telling you, help. By the way, I want to thank some of you who are so gracious over Christmas. You know, some people even gave us rice, turkey, and all this. Praise the Lord. God will bless you in Jesus' name. He said, if you honor a prophet, you'll receive a prophet's reward. You receive my reward today in Jesus' name. But I'm not saying it because of me, oh, please. I hope we know that. I'm saying amongst ourselves, if you know somebody struggling, help them. Some people, our sister is going to wed this year. Go there, fold your hand, and put something in her hand. Help her. Give her something for your wedding. Maybe if you have not done it, I'm saying do it. Help. Praise the Lord. And lastly, I know our time is far gone, but this is the first message for the year, and that's what God has put in my heart. So I need to say it. I need to let us know. Lastly, live in hope this year. It does not matter what you are going through. You must live in hope this year. Live in what? In hope. Don't let anything submerge you. Don't let whatever you are going through submerge you this year. Psalm 42, verse 5. Don't allow anything to submerge you. Whether it is at work, whether it's, you know, you undergoing relationship difficulty is a temporary thing. Whether your children did not behave the way you like them to behave that time. Don't let anything drown your spirit this year. Live in hope this year. Because we serve a God that is above every situation. The sea and the wind obey him. Call upon the Lord this year. He will answer you. Live in hope this year. Psalm 42 verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my inner self? And why should you mourn over me and be disquieted within me? Hope in God and wait expectantly for him, for I shall yet praise him, my help and my God. Hope in the Lord this year. Don't let anything steal your joy. You see, when Satan cannot steal your joy, then he cannot keep your goods. Live in hope this year. Live more than ever before. Let it be seen here, even in the church, that you have hope for the future. Serve the Lord with careless abandon this year. And what I'm talking about is not intermittent hope. Look at Psalm 71, verse 14. Psalm 71, verse 14. He said, but I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. How often will he hope? How often should you hope this year? Continually. And serve him more and more. The more the enemy tries to throw something at you, the more you will serve him more and more. You were sharing with me one of the preachers who said, when she gets jealous of somebody's ministry, you know what she does? You know what she does? When she sees somebody's ministry that is big and she notices that she's becoming jealous, you know what she does? She will go and sow into that ministry and begin to pray and put that ministry on her prayer list and start to pray for that ministry. We have to recognize within ourselves what our limitations are and work against the enemy. He said he will pray. He will give to that ministry and start to pray for that ministry. I also had a brother here. You see, when the accuser reminds him of something that somebody has done, and he wants to give somebody something, and the enemy says, don't give, because he says he will even double it. He will try and double it. So more and more this year, don't let the enemy throw something, an obstacle in your way this year. And lastly, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. That's the last one I can assure you. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. He said, or does he speak certainly and entirely for our sakes? Assuredly, it is written for our sakes, because the plowman ought to plow in hope, and the thresher ought to thresh in expectation of partaking of the harvest. As you serve the Lord diligently this year, serve him with an expectation. Serve him with what? With an expectation and hope that God will answer you. that God will deliver you, that God will take care of that concerns you, that God will provide for you. Live in hope this year. It's not just enough to serve Him, to pour in everything. Expect from Him this year. And you will not be disappointed in the mighty name of Jesus. I say you will not be disappointed in the mighty name of Jesus. He has already told us. It's a year of revelation. He's ready to reveal people. But He will reveal only those who will live in obedience to Him. Only those who will do it the way He has asked us to do it. Let's not put any limitations on ourselves by reason of our own disobedience. Let's not put any limitation on ourselves. Let God have His way in our lives. Can we just rise up, please? Can we just rise up, please? Just one prayer point from this message, that you will fulfill God's call upon your life. Ask that you will fulfill God's call upon your life this year. Lord Jesus, I will fulfill your call upon my life this year. In the mighty name of Jesus, I will fulfill it. I will not come short of your expectation.